Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Praise the Lord. You don't have to quit worshiping Him and loving Him here. I just have to wait a minute so I can talk. How about that? Jesus, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. I don't know if I use those or not, but if I do, I will. Praise the Lord. Good to see you today. It's always good to see you. You guys are just the best folks in the whole world. I was bragging on y'all the other night all the way down in Arkansas. Guy come up to me and said, "Oh, Hank, I just know what do all the pastors have to go through?" I said, "Nah, you don't." I said, "I don't have to go through anything." I said, "I got good people. I got good people." And why don't you give yourself a hand? God thinks you're good. Next Sunday's Easter Sunday. Going to bring somebody to church with you? We're going to have, Greg mentioned, going to have the Passion on Good Friday, next Friday. And I've already had a pastor tell me they're going to bring their church. And so it's a good time to just, I know we've all seen the Passion probably, but you know, I can't see it enough. I want to be reminded of what Jesus did for me. And I want to keep that fresh in my mind because it's my strength. And somebody asked me about next Sunday. We're going to have communion. We will have our special 30 pieces of silver offering. Somebody was asking about the bags. If you've been here a while, you used to. We had the little bags. We still got some back at the information center. I just want to thank all of you for being who you are, and just letting God use you and just letting Him touch you. And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and some of you weren't here, and that's the only reason I'm going to mention it again. I felt like God just told me to take 2 or 3 weeks and just promote the broadcast a little bit. I know we got some folks today from Chanute that watched the broadcast. Wave at us here. And got some folks back here that said they watched the broadcast and came. How many ever watched the broadcast before you came to church here? Praise the Lord. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? I wanted to thank you. I know here, how many support the broadcast monthly? You do it, and I know some of you have just started to do it. I was thinking a couple weeks ago when I said that, and I need to hurry up here, but, you know, I thought, wow, what commitment. I haven't even said anything about supporting the broadcast for at least 2 or 3 years. And to have all the hands that were raised of people that still support on a monthly basis. And, you know, that's just got to mean something to God. That's just got to mean something to Him. I had a couple here, a lady tell me just a few minutes ago that she watched late night with the Life Choices thing, and she saw that on there. We had a gentleman call this past week that he couldn't remember any of the numbers or anything, but it was the gist of it was he needed something, and just to know that somebody loved him and that God loved him. And God's doing big things, and so for a few weeks, anybody that would like to maybe renew your commitment. Maybe you used to do it and you didn't. For the last few years, we've covered most of the expense, but we haven't quite done it. And I just believe God wants to cover it all, don't you? Two of us, that isn't enough. We'll have to give a whole lot if there's just two of us. I think God wants to take care of all the need, don't you? Okay, so anyway, those that would like to start helping us on a monthly partner with me, we're going to give you this little series on faith. if you have done that in the last few weeks and you didn't get that yet, well, get with us. We'll make sure you get it. We don't spend a lot of time talking about money around here, but how many know it takes money to keep everything going? And our broadcast is touching too many lives now for us just to let it lay. And so we're looking at new things to do and new areas to move into. And so we want to touch as many people as we can, don't we? Don't we? Praise the Lord. I know when the weather changes, everybody kind of gets feeling, you know, and I can feel a little slug and a little sluggishness and I felt a little of that myself. But you know what? God's alive. God's alive, and He's excited, and He'll excite you today if you let Him. So I want to read you a verse out of Ephesians, but I don't know. I've prayed and I'm believing God that whatever you need today, that God will touch you. Whatever it is in your life that's a big weight for you, I'm believing God to take care of that today. I believe for some of you, you came in with some kind of affliction, some kind of sickness, and I believe that's already leaving in the name of Jesus. I speak that healing. I release that healing power to go to you and to touch your body and to touch you. We just thank you, Father, for blessing and touching. And I just believe, Lord, you touch every heart here because you know everything we need. And you know everything, every need that's in here today. And so I just believe you to touch every one of us. And I'm going to receive that. How about you? We love you, Jesus. I want to read you a verse out of Ephesians chapter 4, and thought Greg and Lori and all of them were going to preach my sermon there. But some of you don't realize it, but when the music goes along with the sermon and people say things, we don't tell each other. I don't ever tell anybody what I'm going to do. I let Keith know so we have some scriptures up. But it's just so exciting to see the Holy Spirit do something and to see Him move and touch, and see he's the one that we need. You don't just need me. You need the Holy Spirit to touch you and use something that I do or say to touch you and to help you. And Ephesians 4:16, I want to talk to you today about a body together. A body together. Ephesians 4:16 says, "From whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, and it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Let me read you that out of the New Living Testament so you can understand exactly what it's saying. It said, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." What Paul is talking about here, and what I believe is God's desire, this fourth chapter mainly talks about unity and edifying and building up, what he's talking about here. He makes statements like, you know, this is our power. This is our power chapter. This is the chapter he starts off saying that you would know the exceeding greatness of his power that he's given to you when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That we would realize our inheritance, that we would realize who we are. So this is part of this same letter that Paul tells the Ephesians and he tells us. And in this fourth chapter, he's talking about unity, us being together. He says that you'd walk worthily of your calling. And he uses stuff. He says with lowliness and gentleness and long suffering and bearing with one another in love. And He goes on here and he's talking about the fact that we're one body and we're one spirit and there's one hope of our calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and he's the Father of all. I want you to see what he's saying here. He's talking about unity. He's talking about the oneness of us. He's talking about us coming together. He goes on here and it says he gives... Jesus gave gifts. After he raised from the dead, he gave gifts to the church. And those gifts were some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. See, you didn't know I was a gift, did you? Huh? Somebody said, yeah, but you're a gag prize, you know, but you didn't know I was a gift, see? And I better act better then, you know. But he says he gives gifts, and this is why he gave us. And so I speak to all pastors, I speak to all the ministry gifts, the evangelists, teachers, pastors, if apostle, if you are one. We have two reasons for being here. It's not so we straighten everybody up. It's not so we can beat everybody into shape, whoop you into shape. There's two reasons here. It says equipping the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Equipping you, my job is to equip you for the work of the ministry and to edify or to build you up, to build you. And I want you to get the gist of what he's saying here. He's talking about us as a body growing up. Matter of fact, he goes on and he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of God, a perfect man. That means a mature person, a mature body, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and that we be no longer children tossed to and fro. He goes on to say that we, speaking the truth in love, that we would grow up in all things in Christ. And then he talks about the body, the whole body becoming one. And so I want you to get the gist of the picture of what he's trying to say here. He's trying to say we're supposed to come to a place of maturity where we become one body, where we become a one body functioning, where he goes forth into the earth with a ministry. And if the world needs to see anything right now, it needs to see some unity. Huh? If the world needs to see anything right now, it needs to see some love. It needs to see a group of people that care about each other. A group of people that are functioning. You know, I'm reading through the Old Testament and I find this statement all the time in different variations of it, but it says, and they became one. They became as one. And every time they became as one, God brought this great victory to Israel. Every time they came as one, Judah would triumph. Every time they got in agreement, every time they were knitted together, the whole body. He didn't say a fractured body. He didn't say a part of a body. You know, there's a danger. There's just a danger in us not realizing that we need each other. Huh? We need each other. See, I need you, and you need me. And if we don't have each other, we'll never be complete. And I see so many, fractured people and fractured churches and fractured bodies and people going their own way and everything seems to be pulling and if you want to know exactly what's happening in the spirit, just watch this presidential race. Just watch this political stuff. I mean, just don't watch it. We've already watched it too much. But this anger and this meanness and this hatefulness and this lying, I've never heard so much lying and twisting the truth in my life. And folks, that's the way a lot of the body of Christ is. But what God's doing now is He's pulling us together. He's pulling us together. You know, I don't know what He's doing at First Church or Second Church or Third Church, but I'm concerned about what He's doing here with you and with me. And I believe that we're becoming an example and an ensample. We're becoming, you know, it's sure not because of our efforts, that's for sure, you know. But the Holy Spirit's doing something. See, I have a desire. That desire passes on. You have a desire. That desire passes on to everybody you see and everybody you get around. That desire to be one, that desire to be close. I don't think the world has ever seen yet what's going to take place when we come together as one. Huh? We haven't seen that yet, but that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. And we have an option to be part of that or not be part of that. And I choose to be part of it. How about you? If God's doing something, I want to be part of it. A body together. They became as one. Where any two of you will agree. You know, the whole... what the world needs to see now is some people that are going to stand and stand in love and stand together and fight for each other and help each other. Not think the worst about each other. Not be mean to each other. You know, knowing what God wants to do, or getting a little glimpse of what He wants to do, it's no wonder the devil wants to tear it apart so bad. It's no wonder that he wants to cause friction and he wants to, you know, the one thing the enemy tries to do is divide. You know, there's a strategy called divide and conquer. I mean, you can Google it. Don't do it now, but you can Google it. It's a true strategy. It's a strategy to gain and maintain power. We see that happening in the political parties right now. But we see it happening all over. We see it happening in churches. It's a strategy. It's a war in warfare. It's a tactical maneuver that somebody can effectively deal with and control their subjects or who they're going against, their opponents. It's a policy. I like this better than anything else. It says it's a policy of maintaining control over one's subordinates or subjects by encouraging dissension between them. Now, if that isn't a picture what the devil does, huh? If that isn't a picture what the devil does, and he does it to every one of us, he'll do it between a husband and wife, he'll do it between parents and teens, and between teens and parents, and between wives and husbands. I don't want anybody left out here. It's always a two-way street. And he'll do anything he can to divide us, because if he can get us singled out, he can whip us. If he can get you off by yourself, he can shoot all kinds of things in your mind that you've been thinking all your life and that you've been going for all your life. He can shoot all kinds of things in there and get you to go for them. I just wonder if that wasn't part of the lost sheep when he went and found the one sheep that was lost, that out of the and it had the 99, but he went to find the one because he knew if that one sheep was by itself, the wolves would get it. And we need to understand anything the enemy can do to divide us, to make us, you know, to get us off. If he gets me off by myself, He can get me. He can get you. The Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. And what I'm learning is if there's any kind of strife in my heart towards you, if there's any kind of friction, if there's any kind of bitterness in there, it just slings the door open for him to come into my life. He's a master at it. He's been doing it a long time. And he can't do any new tricks on us, but he doesn't have to do any new tricks because the old ones work. And he'll work on your psyche, he'll work on your thinking, he'll make you think you don't fit. He'll make you think you're not worth much. He'll make you think, well, I just don't fit into this group. I just don't fit. That's a lie. What did Paul just say? What did the Word of God just say? He said, he makes us a body that's fit together and joined together. And every part does its part, does what it's supposed to do, does its special thing. And when that happens, then we become strong and we become healthy and we grow and we're full of love. Body. He knows how, you know, he'll work on, you know, how many times you're here today, so I can say this, you're here today, but how many times have you just, you looked in the mirror or something and you didn't like what you saw, you didn't like the way you looked, you didn't do something, and so you thought, well, I just don't feel like being around anybody today. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like, folks, that's when you probably need to go the most. And I'm not just pushing church because see, you know, that's when you, you know, he'll say, you just don't need to be around anybody. You know, you just don't, just nobody understands you. Nobody cares about, that's all lies. We're supposed to become a body that's joined together, that helps each other. Well, nobody cares about me. God cares, and that's all that matters. And when some of us get close to God, we'll care too. Because if I don't care about you, then there's something missing in me. It's not your fault. There's something missing in me. Because God shed his love abroad in all of our hearts. And I've got to learn that when I look at you, when I see you, I'm looking at somebody that's created in God's image. When I look at you, I'm looking at somebody that's important. I remember years ago, Pam and I don't get mad at each other anymore. Can you believe that? Isn't that great? We just, I don't know if we're just too tired and it's not worth the effort or what, but we just don't get mad. We don't fight anymore. We don't argue anymore, you know. But I remember the old days. And one time I remember being so mad, and this has been years and years ago, I was so mad. I mean, if I spit somewhere, the grass would die, you know. And I said this, and it's just like God just shut up, and he just let me say everything I wanted to say, and then he spoke a little soft thing in my heart, and he said, that's my daughter you're talking about. See, he'll do that by working on your psyche, but he'll do that by trying to drive wedges in between us. Trying to drive wedges in between us. He'll cause hurt feelings. He'll cause resentments. He'll cause all this friction, all this bitterness. He'll cause all this stuff. Why? Because if he gets me with that, it stops my faith from working, and I'm not effective for God. And if he can get me, I heard a preacher not long ago tell me. He said, I just, man, my people, they just won't do nothing. I just can't get them to do nothing, you know. And I thought, well, if I listened to somebody telling me that all the time, I probably wouldn't want to do nothing either. I said, start bragging on them. Start telling them how good they are. You know, hey, you guys, I don't just say that. You guys are good people. Man, you work. Somebody said, I can't get anybody to do anything. I said, I can't get my people to stop working. Why? Well, because they love the Lord. They're trying to advance the kingdom. drive these wedges in between us. A large part of the body of Christ spends their time, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but they spend their time fractured and spend their time on the move. You know, now I understand sometimes God will move you. I've talked with some of you that are here today, and God's stirred in your heart to move, and really you're here today grading me, checking us out, and that's okay. But I'm talking about a group that just move, and the first time something doesn't go their way, or the first time they get their feelings hurt, they're gone, or they're going someplace else, and they're looking for the perfect church. The only problem is, if you're looking for the perfect church, when you get there, it won't be perfect anymore. But you see, We need each other. Could God put you in a place that was uncomfortable, in a place that you just, everything rubbed you wrong? You know, and if everything rubs you wrong, you got to realize the problem isn't with everything. The problem must be here. I talked to a lady here one time, and she said, I've been married 6 times. And she said, every time I got a rotten husband. I just got a husband that was no good. I just got a husband you couldn't live with. You know, and after I listened to her a little bit, I thought, well, I think I've pinpointed the problem here. You know, could God put you? Yeah, this is what I'm learning. If I don't like you, and I won't tell you I don't like you, but if I don't like you, then I probably need to be around you a little bit. Because there's something, you know, that I got some rough edges here somewhere. And if I don't put myself in a position where those rough edges can get sanded off, I'll never be conformed into the image of Jesus. Yeah, it is. That's what a body is all about. See? And man, don't be the one all the time that's trying to rub everybody's rough edges off, okay? That's not what I'm saying. You know?
Well, I'm just here to
No, you're here to get changed. We had a pastor come here years ago and pastored this church for about 18 months. And he realized he was here to change the people, but he didn't realize he was here for the people to change him too. And because it never happened, he never functioned as full as he could have functioned. Oh, if you list all the big names, his name's probably with them. But I'm using that as an example, and I'm probably in trouble. You know, I believe God places us in a church. Huh? I believe He places us under a pastor. And I believe none of us are fixed yet. Huh? I believe that. I don't know about you. I need some fixing. How about you? And so he doesn't put people together and then put somebody over them that knows everything and that is already completed. No, he puts us together so we can complete each other, so we can help each other. Oh, listen, this is so important. And you're going to be hearing people all over. The big guys on TVs and radios, you're going to be hearing them say this too. Because the time's about to be finished. We're about to hear the trumpet blow. Jesus is about to come get us. And if he could say anything to us today, he'd say, I'm coming to get you, I'm coming to get you, I'm coming to get you. Get ready, be ready. I want, when he comes to get me, I want to have something in my column here. I want to have something in my account. I want to have something laid up in heaven. I want to have some investment in the kingdom. I want to have given money. I want to have given myself. I want to have witnessed. I want to have laid hands on sick people and watch them recover. When he comes, I want to have raised the dead. I want the miracles and the power of God to operate in my life. See, that's what the enemies are afraid of. He's afraid you're going to find out who you are, and I'm going to find out who I am, and then we're both going to find out together we can send more of them running than we can apart. I'll just be honest with you. Nothing's ever going to always go your way. Somebody told me the other day, he said, I'm just mad. I'm just upset. I just don't know if I'll go to church anymore. And I said, well, gosh, is that how it's supposed to work? You know how many times I wouldn't come? Because something's rubbed me wrong? Because something's bothered me? You know what I was praying up there? You know what I was saying to the Lord? Lord, I'm here. I'm going to be here. I'm going to serve you till I take my last breath. I'm going to do everything you show me to do. I'm going to go after it. I'm going to keep pumping myself up. I'm going to keep reviving myself. I just don't think... Next Sunday, if you come and Randy or somebody gets up and they go, well, Pastor just decided he didn't feel good today. He wasn't going to come. Well, but my point is, see, we need each other. This old thing of resentment, this old thing of bitterness, this root of bitterness that's in most of us. See, I left you a way out in case you're still fooling yourself, but it's in most of us. And I want that out of me, don't you? How important is that? How important is that? Well, it's so important in Mark 11. You don't have this scripture, so don't worry about it. Let me read this. Mark 11, he talks here. He says, surely I say to you that whosoever will say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Do you realize he's talking to you and he's talking to me? What mountain is in your life today? What mountain are you facing today? See, you can speak to that, and if you believe in Jesus' heart, if you believe in what He did and believe that He did it for you, you can speak to that mountain and it'll crumble before your eyes. You don't have to feel anything. You don't have to even see anything. You just speak it and you believe it. He goes on and he says, whatever things, whatever things, whatever things. Well, no, I don't want to ask for too much. I don't want to pray, you know, I just want to... Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Do you understand what door is open there to us through Jesus? But listen, verse 25 says this. It says, and... You know what and means, don't you? It's like but... It's like something that pulls this next thing he's about to say, pulls it together with what he just said. I want to speak to those mountains, not just for me, but I want to speak to your mountains. I want to help you get rid of your mountains. I want to help you have perfect health. I want to help you be blessed in the area of your material things. I want you to be blessed in your mind. See, I want to speak to those mountains, but he says, whenever you stand praying, if you have aught against any, forgive him. Do you understand the and there? The pull together. What's he saying? He's saying, Hank, if you have any of this bitterness in you, he's not just talking about saying to somebody, I forgive you. I mean, it'd be good if you did that too. I forgive you. But no, he's talking about a spirit, an attitude that we have, a part of us, a mad, get even, bitter. something in there. What's he saying? He's saying, Hank, if you have any of that in there, it'll stop your faith from working. See, you're not supposed to get along with people for their sake. You're supposed to get along with people for your sake. You might prove your point, but when it's all done, it'll all be pointed at you. In Matthew 5, he tells a story. He says, whenever you bring your gifts to the altar, and if you remember anybody, if you think about anybody that you have something against, he said, lay that gift down. Don't present it yet. Lay that gift and go get it fixed between you and that person. And then come back. You understand what he's saying here? I'm down saying, oh God, I love you and I want to serve you and I give you worship and I give you praise and I'm gonna do everything I can that you show me to do. I want closeness to you. I want to be with you. And he says, yeah, but you just were ugly with Kenny. He says, lay that down and go fix the problem and then come back. And I'll bring you, I'll pull you to that place with me. I'll pull you into that closeness with me. Does that make sense? I'm not going to have time to go where I was going to go here, but maybe I'm not supposed to. See, it's picky, pick sides. You know, I've learned something. God is not going to be mean to you just to be good to me. And I've learned that it just doesn't matter how much I tear you down, it doesn't make me any bigger. He's talking here about unity. He's talking about here coming. Let me read you a few scriptures here. These are in your Bible. We don't always like to read them. But Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and in honor preferring one another. Philippians 2, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. In Ephesians here in this same chapter, he says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Peter says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, but yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. He goes, told the Thessalonian church, he said, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another. You understand? He's shown us how we're supposed to treat each other. I love Psalms 133, and I'll read it real quick to you. If I can find it. Oh, that's Isaiah, no wonder. Psalms 130, that's bad when you got a paper clip on it and you still can't find it. That's bad. Psalms 133, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. He said it's like precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down to the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. It says, for there the Lord commands the blessings of life. Folks, I don't know anybody in here that doesn't want to be blessed. Is there anybody here that doesn't want God's blessing? If that's you, just say, I don't want mine, give mine to Hank. Because I'll take it. But you see what he says? He says, yeah, I love this. He says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. He said good and pleasant. He didn't say how hard it was sometimes, did he? Huh? But he says it's like a precious oil. I just picture the oil, the anointing of the Holy Spirit running down on us. As we come together, as we become like one, as we become the body we're supposed to be. Do you understand? He's trying to build us all as together as a body. He's trying to build us into Jesus. No wonder Jesus said, you'll be able to do the things that I did, but you'll be able to do a lot more than I did. Why? A bigger body. But the same power. The same anointing. See, this is available to all of us, but you're going to see a time as you keep letting the Holy Spirit lead you. Everybody won't get this, but you can get it. You're going to see a time that when your shadow just falls on somebody sick, they get, well, what happened? Who was that? You had never ought to walk around a sick person. That laying your hand on him. He didn't say call a prayer meeting. He didn't say quote the Lord's Prayer. He didn't say it like Brother Copeland or say it like Brother Hank or like anybody else. He said just lay hands on him. Why? Because you have a power in you that'll go out. When the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, that's all God's power. I'm sorry, that's all of it. I'm ready for him to turn up the flame a little bit. How about you? That's what today's all about. So it's not easy, but he said it's good and pleasant. What is that? How is this body coming together? How is it? See, he's talking here. He's talking about that when you dwell together. He's not talking about living in a commune all under the same roof. He's talking about getting involved in each other's life. See, he's talking about what's happening here. I've watched you and I've went around and talked with some of you. And if I didn't get my hug, let me get my hug before you leave today. But he's talking about mixing and interacting. He's talking about what's happening in our cell group. He's talking about sharing our lives with each other. He's talking about being able to trust each other enough to do that. He's not talking about everybody being perfect. He's talking about us perfecting each other. See, when you blow it, when you mess up, when you are just so mad at yourself and you just blew it so bad. And I come along, I said, man, it's okay, come on, let's go. Brush yourself off, let's get up, let's go. What does that do? You just start forgetting about all that mess. Can I tell you something? When you were at your worst, most despicable self, Jesus loved you and went to the cross for you. The worst condition you've ever been in. And if you get there again, that's when you need to say, right when you're in that pile of ashes, you need to say, yeah, but Jesus, you gave your life for this and you rose from the dead. And you rose from the dead and I've got the power to get up out of these ashes because you're going to see to it. The anointing running down. He's talking about the dew coming down on the mountain. And if you looked at that mountain, I read somewhere where when you get down to the bottom, all that dew is so heavy on that mountain, it is run down. And when you get down, Lord, all the grass is green and the trees are got leaves all over. You see what I'm saying? We're supposed to bring some life into this dead mess. Well, I'm talking about cell groups. I'm talking about woven. I'm talking about getting together. I'm talking about, you know, I'm not talking about living together. I mean, you don't have to like everybody, everything everybody does to like them. I don't like it. You know, I'm not going to do everything you're going to do, and you're not going to do everything I'm going to do. And so let's just get used to it. But it's okay for you. I mean, hey, I want you to be happy. I want you to be full. I want you to be full of life and all this. You know, and hey, but I don't have to jump on your bandwagon. I don't have to do everything. See, this coming together. See, I'm talking about when somebody tells you they're going to vote for Trump. Or Cruz. Oh, God forbid, or Hillary, or... Hold it, man, hold it. We're not in that kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God. And yes, we should vote, and yes, we should care, but we don't have to let all that poison and all that bitterness affect us. I had a business lady, and Keith, let's make sure we cut this out of the tape. I had a business lady tell me the other day, she said, I put a message online on Facebook. She said, I just put a message on that said, hey, vote for so-and-so or so-and-so, whoever you feel like you're supposed to vote for. And she said, you can't believe how many hateful, mean, bitter replies I got from people who claim to be Christians. That's still resonating in me. See, I don't have to love everything you do to love you. And see, it's when we're together and if I'm with you and I do something that just I see it rubs you wrong, you know what I'm probably gonna do? I'm probably gonna be trying to change my behavior. I mean, even if I was right. And we're always right, right? Huh? I mean, you were only wrong one time, and that was one time you thought you were wrong and you were really right, huh? I'm talking about a body fitly joined together. I'm talking about a body where life goes everywhere you go, where the anointing of God goes everywhere you go. I'm talking about a place where the blessings of God are on you, where goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. Well, and if you're not there yet, don't worry about it, because none of us are. But I'm going. I mean, I'm on the journey. I'm headed that way, aren't you, Kenny? I'm headed that way. Huh? Every joint has its place. And let me just do this, and I'll wrap this up here. Boy, I had a lot more good stuff here, but every joint has its place. Let me read you that scripture again, Ephesians 4:16. I'll read it in the NIV this time. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. One of the main tricks the enemy will try to convince you is you're not valuable, that you don't count, that you're not important. Do you understand? That's a lie. See, God has a purpose for you. He had a purpose for you before you were born. He had a call on your life before you were born. And doesn't it make sense that the enemy would do everything he could to try to pull us out? I mean, hey, he's got a purpose. See, I look at everybody. You know, I saw the other day a man that was fighting alcohol. And he was just fighting this addiction to alcohol. And he's just fighting it really good. And when I looked at him, I didn't see an old drunk. When I looked at him, I saw a person that had the potential of God on the inside of him. And the enemy had tricked him and sidetracked him so that he didn't think he could do anything but just get drunk and forget it. See, everybody that comes in here today, if you're in here today and you're homeless, you're important because you have a part. You have a purpose. If you're in here and you own a big company and you've got bukus of money and all the rest of that, you're important. You've got a part. And when all of us begin to work our parts and work our special things, you've got gifts in you that nobody else can do like you can do. And I'm not just talking about singing, or I'm not just talking about planning it. I'm talking about, you know, sometimes it's a gift to go, well, you look nice today. See, sometimes it's a gift to be an encourager. Sometimes it's a gift to be a builder-upper, an uplifter. And God will use these gifts in us. I don't want to start calling people out, but I watch you, Diane. I watch you all the time. And one of her gifts is just to make people feel important, to make people feel wanted, to make people feel, you understand what I'm saying? And see, you have a part. And I'm convinced God told me, said, everything that I have for you to do right now as a body, as a church, you have the pieces there. You have the pieces there. And I guess this is what we're trying to realize today, that you're one of the pieces. You know? Maybe you think you're here today by accident, but maybe God's putting you here because you're one of the pieces. Maybe you're watching this on TV and you don't have a church and you don't know what you're supposed to do. Maybe you're one of the pieces. Why don't you come down here and sit for a while and see what God will do with your life? Just come down and sit and be part and watch. Because you have a gift. I believe everybody has a giant on the inside of them. And they just need to wake it up. They just need something to stir inside. And the Holy Spirit's a good stirrer. Let me read. I'll end with this. This is probably better than what I was going to do anyway. Oh, I'm going to read out of a. Let's see, I got messages here, but nobody's stuck in the elevator, so it doesn't matter. Okay. I want to read you out of John 17, and then I'll close. Out of John 17, Jesus, I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. Jesus has just prayed. He's getting ready to go to Gethsemane, and he's just prayed. He prayed for his disciples, and then he prays for us. He said, neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching. How many of you are saved? How many of you got Jesus in your heart? See, he's talking to you. He's talking to me. He says, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, and me, just as you are in me, and I in you, and they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. I've given to them the glory and the honor which you have given to me, that they may be one even as we are one. I and them, and you and me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire they also whom you have entrusted to me as your gift to me, that they may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, your love gift to me. For you love me before the foundations of the world. He's not talking about when you get to heaven here. He's going so that we might be able to see him now, that we might be able to see his glory now. O just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you and has failed to recognize you and has never acknowledged you, I have known you continually. And these men understand and they know that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them and revealed your character and your very self, and I will continue to make you known, that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them. That love may be felt in their hearts, that I myself may be in them. Wow. Can I just tell you something? You ought to spend about 5 hours this week in John 17 reading that prayer. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, Father, I got to read one more. He's saying, Father, I want them to be one just like we are one. I want them to be. Now, just let me give you something to think about as we quit here. I don't think I'll read anymore. Just as we quit here, did Jesus and God make an impact in this world? Huh? He said, just like I'm in you and you're in me, did they make an impact in this world? Yeah. We're saved because of that impact. Do you see what? Yeah, give him some praise. You see what he's saying here? He's saying, now, Father, make them one in us, just like we're one in each other, and we'll be in them, and they'll be in us, and we'll be a body, and we can be a force on this earth. How beautiful and how good it is for my kids to dwell in unity, for them to get along. Folks, how much stuff are we wasting time thinking about that's trivial? Somebody's dying right this second and going to hell. Somebody else right this second, right in our town, their life is totally messed up and they're thinking about killing themselves. Their life is totally destroyed and they need some hope. They need something. They need us. They need us. Everybody you get around this week needs to see something different. They don't need to see you get mad and hateful with them if they're going to vote for somebody you're not going to vote for. They don't need to see you be hateful and mean with them if they've did something you don't like. No, they need to see something different in us. I thank God for what he's doing here. See, and I kind of preach this because some of you think things have been happening in your life and think it's something wrong, but it's not. It's something good. Because God's molding you. Maybe in a few weeks we'll talk about the clay on the potter's wheel, huh? He's just molding us. Huh? And maybe you just ought to get over it and move on with him. Maybe this same thing keeps happening to you because he's trying to squeeze some of the air bubbles out of you. Trying to rub off some of the rough edges. Well, I don't need to preach it again. Do you get the message? Do you get the message? United we stand. Divided we fall. Everybody stand. I think we just ought to give the Lord some praise. And maybe you're not at this place yet. Maybe you've been realizing some things in your life. See, listen, it really doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. You can change tomorrow by the decisions you make today. So I don't know about you, but I think I'm just going to make a commitment. Hey, God, I'm going to love your kids. I'm going to love your body. I'm going to try to fit in. I'm going to try to do all I'm supposed to do. And when you do the things to irritate me, I'm going to learn how to not let it irritate me. How about that? Anyway, give God some praise. Give him some love. We're done. I'm 1 minute past. If you guys, if anybody here and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask that you just come down and let one of us pray with you. Maybe you're here, you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're here, maybe you've known him and you just haven't been living like you want to live and you want somebody to pray with you. If that's you, come. Maybe you're here today and you want to be baptized. You've never been baptized in water, or you've been feeling like God's been dealing with you about getting baptized. If that's you, this is your day. Come do it. Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you about something. You just come. One of us will pray with you. Because God loves you. God's good. He wants to take you someplace that you're not. He wants to take you someplace that you've never been before. He wants to do some things in your life that are exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or think. Let's go ahead and sing a verse. Just sing it to him. Listen to the words. is there anybody here today that didn't get your toes stepped on? I know I'll be limping going out of here today. But I just want you to know, hey, God tells us all this stuff not to punish us or correct us, but He wants to have some kids that He can just do great things for. He wants to have some of us where He can just bless us. And so I just speak God's blessing on you. And wherever you are in this process, just don't worry about it. Just decide to go forward. And if you decide to go forward, God's going to give you the strength and He's going to help you to go forward. But I speak His blessings on you today. And I believe for God to do big things in your life this day and this week. I believe Him to open up some doors for you that you've been believing for, you've been wanting to. And these doors will even be greater than the doors that you've been praying about and asking for. I believe He's mending some hearts and mending some lives, and I just speak that into you today. Some of you have been fighting some sickness and some disease. I just speak the healing stripes of Jesus into you today. And I release that healing power to flow in you. All you have to do is say, I receive it. I take it. Hey, God loves you. Go out this week, and everybody you get around, tell everybody you see about Jesus. I mean, go out, tell everybody you see about Jesus. And if you have to, talk. I love you. Have a good day. Tonight, we're having some special music tonight. Darren Henry and they've got a group, and they're going to be singing for us over in the cafeteria. So if you can come tonight at 6, come. Special service tonight. And don't forget Friday night, the Passion. And we'll see you next Sunday, Easter service. We're having a whole family get baptized here in a minute if anybody wants to stay and watch that. Love you.